start from the Mishnah at the bottom of Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. That's what we're up to. Dr. Mishnah, Bezanis Ishtai Vezbanav. A person can feed, okay, Reuven banned Shimon and pleasure. So Reuven can feed Shimon's wife and children. Even though Reuven is obligated and Shimon is obligated to feed them. Now we'll stop right here. Dr. Rash, Bezanis Ishtai Vezbanav. Notice the Rush has a different girsa. He does not have the girsa Ava Bishukhaya Bimzainai son, plural, but he has the girsa Ava Bishukhaya Bimzainai Seha, singular, on the woman. Dr. Rush, Chaya by Ishtekoi. A man is only obligated to feed his wife. Feeding children is a mitzvah, not an obligation. There's a mitzvah to feed the girls, and for sure the boys who learn. It's a mitzvah to feed your boys, because you don't want them going out collecting money. That's a mitzvah. Now, under six is an obligation. So why can't the Mishnah be talking about under six and saying you're obligated to feed your children under six? Zok the Rush, ubiktanim lekalokmi. You can't say it's talking about ktanim, the under six. The takonis ushahu, she adam zon is one of ktanim. That's a takona made in Usha post Mishnah. It did not exist in the time of the Mishnah, v'la masnisini. It couldn't be a Mishnah. So therefore, the Rush says, you can't say you're obligated to feed your kids. In the time of the Mishnah, there was no obligation to feed any kids. So therefore, the Mishnah can't be talking about the real little ones, because that's a takara susha, and over six, there's no chiyuv period. It's a mitzvah. So you can't say chayiv. So, okay, let me just finish. You can't say chayiv. So therefore, the Mishnah says chayiv. So the Rush says chayiv and her mitzvahness. A husband's chayiv and her mitzvahness. Rabbeinu Tam Mukalav. Rabbeinu Tam answers, Begirish es ishtoi v'hadra. He divorced his wife, took her back. Upaski moilazon es vita. And she made a condition that he will feed her kids. So now it becomes obligatory because he had the condition. That's why Rabbeinu Tam is gairish b'mzainaisam, meaning he obligated himself to feed the kids. Now it has to be he took her back, because one cannot obligate himself to feed her children that are not born yet. Right? So he marries this woman. It can only be her children that are born, but it says his children. So therefore, it must be he had children with her, divorced her, took her back. So now he obligated himself. So the Rabbeinu Tam is just picking the words. It says in the Mishnah, obligated to feed your children. But you're not obligated to feed your children. Now you can say it's your wife's children and you obligated yourself, but then it's not your children. The way it can be your children and you obligated can't be at the original marriage. The kids don't exist yet. So it has to be at a subsequent marriage to the same woman who makes a condition that she's only remarrying you if you obligate yourself to feed her children, which are your children. Yes?
She can't agree to. She said, I'll marry on the condition that you feed myself and my children and our children.
But they're not here. So. You can't obligate yourself about something that doesn't exist. The
second thing is he was a little bit anti.
I know, I knew this was coming. But this we had in Sukkot.
I said that for a little softball. So how do you think? It's beautiful. They're hopeless. They're like.
Okay. At the expense of sounding crude, there's a dysfunctional family down the block. There are little kids that aren't being fed. You have that obligation to feed them? I'm asking you, not your children. I want to know, there's a family down the block, Rahman al-Islam, totally dysfunctional. Is it an obligation or not? Try again. Is it an obligation? I'm going to go to you after this year and I'm going to ask you for money. There are kids out there that aren't getting fed. I want to know if it's your obligation.
Not my kids.
What difference does it make?
Mike, yeah. I brought him into this world.
That's great. Who said that came with obligations?
Dead?
Yeah.
That's just logical. You see, look at the animal kingdom.
Again. You know, I hate to argue with you, but practically speaking, there is an obligation to feed your kids on Takana Susha. There is that Takana. But before Takana.
Under six was the Takana.
Afterwards, they can collect.
No problem. It seems that they're actually, that you can have a child and just leave it on the curb. That seems like it's not my.
So the Gemara says in Ksubas, you know, this is where we have the Chazir Ksubas. The Gemara says in Ksubas that they got up in Shul and they made an announcement that a raven feeds his children and this guy refuses to feed his children. That's what they used to do. Put some pressure on him, but he wasn't obligated halakhically.
Rabbi has no problem.
What age did you see, Rabbi?
Before this,
the Kana,
in that you
said never. Right. What is that? I did, but there's no heat about it. Okay, what can I tell you? Come first,
you see, you are his children. Your children. 100% your children. Now, not if they're capable of earning their own living, that might be a different story. Listen, I mean, that's a different story. We're talking about little children. But if they're capable of earning their own living, then you have a good question. You want to support your kids in Kailu, it's a wonderful thing. And the truth is, it's more important to support your own kids in Kailu than to support somebody else's kids in Kailu. That's halacha. Right? Tzedakah goes first to relatives. First halacha. That's a Gemara in Ksubas. The Gemara in Ksubas explains that Rameir says that it's a greater, it makes sense more to feed your children who learn than to feed your children who don't learn. Let's go back. After Takanas Usha, you're obligated to feed your kids. Before Takanas Usha, we're not going to talk about now. But now after Takanas Usha, how about your 10-year-old kid? Is there a mitzvah to feed him? You're not obligated.
I guess if you're learning.
No, you're obligated to feed them anyway. But Rameir says, logically, boys are learning and girls are not. So there's a mitzvah to feed the girls and for sure the boys. It doesn't differentiate. I want to make it clear. 1 second. None of the Tanoim differentiate between boys and girls.
Oh.
The question is, which one is more simple and which one is less simple? But nobody's arguing that there's a mitzvah to feed both of them. Rameir understands the mitzvah to feed the girls and for sure the boys. And Rabbi Yehuda says the boys and for sure the girls. But they both agree to mitzvah to feed both. Nobody's differentiating. Okay, now the question is, which I thought we would spend time on, is why are you allowed to feed his wife? You're paying a debt that he has. Now, according to Chanan, the guy is not obligated to pay you back. Remember, we had it by the case of Chanan, was you paid somebody's, you fed his wife. So the Chanan said, so therefore you didn't give him anything. I mean, you didn't give him anything directly, you just removed the debt from him. But the Rabbanan say, no, he's obligated to pay you back. So how come you're allowed to feed his wife? So here is a machlokes Rishayim. Some Rishayim learned that it's extra food that he's not obligated in, meaning he's obligated to feed her, you're giving her extras. You know, he can look at you and say, you want to give my wife extras? What do you want from me? You're not giving me anything. That's how some want to learn. And others want to learn that it's considered indirect. That it's considered indirect because he's not giving it to pay the husband's obligation. He's giving it because he wants to give her money. He doesn't have in mind that I am removing her husband's obligation. Now he is, because she doesn't need the food anymore. But the round learns that's not what he's trying to do. He's trying to give her money. He wants to give her things. and it happens to be that it removes, but if he comes to give it to her as, so your husband doesn't have to give it to you, the Ran holds according to the Rabbanon, that would be usur. So the Rishonim deal with it, the Rush does not, so I can't answer for the Rush. Weiter. You can't treat his animal, whether it's non-kosher or kosher. Zogt Rush, the Nichalei Bepitumam, because the guy's happy that you're fattening his animal, and that's direct. Direct pleasure, his animal is getting fatter. Because Mahanilei, that's giving it to him. Now I know it's indirect because he's not eating it, the animal is. But that's a direct pleasure. His animal's worth more. His wife is not worth more if she gets more food. That, can I finish? Sorry, let me try to finish. I'm sorry, I am drunk. That's what you would say. Become a honey lay. You're giving him pleasure by fattening up his animal. I'm sorry, yes?
You're saving money?
What? So you can't. That's what it says. You're not allowed to feed his animal.
More than just that.
You're direct. No, it's not indirect. It's direct.
The saving the money is...
It's indirect. That's what we said. I'm going to con on it. Indirect. Would he have to pay you for this? This was the shaila by a wife. If you feed his wife, does he have to pay you or not? Was the Machlekes Chalon and Rabbanon at the beginning of the Perek?
It's going to one that says you do have to pay his wife.
So then they answer it with either extra food. I told you that's what they answer. Or that you didn't mean to give it to her to pay his debt.
Just like the fattened animal is a better product, so a wife that's fed is a better product. You know, that's also that's a pretty.
The Gemara doesn't view it that way. She's getting her meals that she needs. She's not starving. She's not emaciated. Only of her own source if she wants to be emaciated. But she doesn't have to be emaciated. So there's no reason to assume that he's making her worth more giving him anah. First of all, that's for sure indirect. Her value doesn't increase. She's not an Eved. She's not a Shevcha. She's a wife. So think about it. Rabbi Eliezer, I'm Rezanis HaTameyev, and Rezanis HaTayra. Rabbi Eliezer said you can feed his non-kosher animal and not feed his kosher animal. Amr loy ma bein tayev b'tameyev l'tayra. What is the difference between feeding his camel or feeding his cow? Amalahem, Tatira Navsha Shemayim the Gupa Shalai. Utmeya Navsha Bagupa La Shemayim. Meaning that a kosher animal is worth more because he's going to shecht it and the meat's going to be more. So Navsha La Shemayim means when it dies, its nefesh goes away, but he gets to eat the body. He gets to eat the animal. A fatter animal gives him more beef. A tmeya is made for work. Fatter animals don't work any better. If anything, they work worse. He doesn't want to overfeed his animal. And he's not gaining on the deal because he can't eat the meat after it dies. So to Eliezer, you're not benefiting him. He doesn't necessarily want his animal to overeat when he wants it to work. Fatter animals don't necessarily work any better. Zok the Rosh of the other bays. Let's give the Rosh a chance. Navsh v'gufu l'ashamayim. The l'malacha kaima. When it dies, it's not worth anything to him. Now, tell me it's worth more because he has more to feed his dogs. He'd rather have it skinnier and work than have it fatter and not work. Amrulai, not true. For resale value, it's worth more. A fatter camel is worth more on the market because the guy can eat it. I makilu l'klavim. So to Ashi, a fatter horse, guy can have more horse meat. So he is worth it. He is gaining. And Rabbi Eliezer does not consider that hanah because people don't keep animals to resell. Usually, they have their animals for work. And the chum say, but the bottom line is it increases the value of the animal for resale or for feeding the dogs. Exactly how the machlokes. Turns out that Rabbi Eliezer ignores that, the Rabbanon don't, I don't know. Don't think of my writer. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Chananya, I'm Rav Huna. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Chananya said in the name of Rav Huna.
First opinion says it's all indirect. First opinion would say you can't feed any.
That's
all direct.
That's direct. It's all direct. You're making his animal worth more. That's direct. Making your object worth more is direct pleasure. Because you get, according to Rabbanan, they say he can sell it. Its resale value is more. There's somebody that gains by a fatter horse. Goyim will eat horse meat. A yid gains nothing by a fatter horse. Well, the Rabbanan say he feeds it to his dog, so it is gain. I guess Rabbi Ezra feels that's not what he wants your animal for. You don't want to give it to dogs. You don't want it to die. You want it to. Whereas your kosher animals are for eating. And a fatter horse, a fatter cow, is more beef. Don't think about my time, Rabbi Yitzchak Bachanan, Yom Rav Huna. Hamudur hanah mechaveray, mutur lahesi lebitay. Now, we don't understand this statement. The Gemara won't understand this statement. But let me translate it. You ban pleasure from your wife, from your friend. You can marry off, you can give your daughter to him. Now, we don't know who's giving the daughter to whom. Right, Reuven banned Shimon and pleasure. Is Reuven giving his daughter to Shimon, or is Shimon giving his daughter to Reuven? It doesn't say. So we have to figure it out. How about we, Reb Zeira? Reb Zeira asked the question. What is the case? Are you telling me that Reuven, who's the father of the girl, banned Shimon, who's marrying Reuven's daughter? And Shimon can't have pleasure from Reuven. Now we're talking that the father is marrying her off. Remember that a ktana or a nara, a father can marry her off without her agreement. Right? So now, if Reuven says to Shimon, here is my daughter, you can marry her, and Shimon can't have pleasure from Reuven, he just gave Reuven direct pleasure. Having a wife is giving him pleasure. Besides marital things, she now takes care. She cooks, she bakes, she does laundry, all the things a wife is mechuyav to do for her husband. So how can you tell me that Reuven can give his daughter to Shimon when Reuven is giving him direct pleasure? Ella, shenichsei chasen asur na viyakala. Teretz says, Shimon can't give pleasure to Reuven. And now Shimon is marrying Reuven's daughter. Shimon is marrying Reuven's daughter, and that's not called giving pleasure to Reuven, that he just took an expense off his hands. That Reuven was feeding his daughter, and now Shimon marries her, Reuven just saved a few dollars. And that's mutter. Because he's not giving Reuven anything. He's saving Reuven the expenses he had for his daughter. Now she's using Shimon's credit card, not Reuven's credit card. So that's not a chiddush. The Gedolim Mizu Amru. Son is one of the Ishtav is one of Abu Shechayim Zenaisan. V'at Amrit Mutter Laisa Loibitai. The Mishnah allowed you to feed his wife and kids, even while they were his children in his house and his wife. So for sure you can take it off. You can take it away from him. What's the chiddush? You can feed his wife and kids while they're under his domain, so to speak. So for sure you can feed his kid when you take her out of his domain. So what's the chiddush? It's halacha, it's true. You can take the kid off his back. The expenses are gone. But if you can even feed her while she's there, for sure you can feed her when she's gone. You take her away. So what's the chiddush? And for the Gemara, Loilam Shenichsav Yakala Asur Malachas. Going back to the first one. Shimon can't have pleasure from Reuven. And Reuven is marrying off his daughter to Shimon. He's giving him pleasure. She wants to marry Shimon. Here is a guy, he told Shimon, you can't have any pleasure from me. His older daughter says, I like Shimon, I'm going to marry him. Now, Reuven's not giving Shimon a thing. What's the chiddush? He persuades her to marry Shimon. He told her, you know, that's a great guy. It's a great shidduch. I know he can't have pleasure from me, but he's really a great guy. It's a good idea to marry him. That's mutter. You can persuade your daughter. She's going to marry him. Not you giving him anything. It's totally her decision. But, you know, parents have input. Sometimes. Parents have input, right? So therefore, he's allowed to put his input into encouraging her to marry Shimon. He's not giving Shimon a thing. indirectly, he's helping him acquire a wife by persuading his daughter it's a great idea. But he's not giving Shimon anything. That's the Chiddush. Dr. Rush. Yeah, but he has a lot of input into it. He made, quote-unquote persuaded her to do it. God, he can't. He's giving him something. He can give her over, and the earnings were his, and now he's giving it to the husband. For sure, he's allowed to feed the guy's daughter if he marries her. Now, Dr. Rush, what's the Chiddush? Even though he's giving her advice, and she's doing it because she likes to please her father. Sorry, because the bottom line is it's her decision. He's not doing anything directly. She's giving herself to her husband. He's not. He encouraged her. She doesn't want to fight with her father. She might be agreeing because that's what her parents want. But he didn't do it. That's called indirect. Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Hamudr b'nai l'talmud Torah. Somebody bans this kid. Now there's two pshat in the Rush. Either he bans this kid because he wants him to learn. I don't want you giving me anything. I want you to take care of yourself and learn. Don't serve me. Don't do things for me. I'd rather you learn, so I'm banning you from doing things for me. Meaning I'm banning myself from getting pleasure from you, because I want you to learn. That's the first shot in the Rush. The second shot in the Rush is, the kid's not learning. So the father says, you're not learning? I don't want you to have anything from me. I don't want you getting pleasure from me. Flipped around, and the reason flipped around. First is a positive encouragement that he shouldn't be busy. He can sit and learn without worrying about his dad. And the second one is a negative encouragement. Because you're not learning, I'm going to, ostracize you. Again, I'm not commenting on the chinuch, a way of doing this thing, but this is the case in the Gemara. So, mutter l'malas l'chavi shemayim l'had l'gloy saner. Now, there's little things that we say are not included in the neder. That...
We don't understand what it means,
is that what you're saying? The subchatim. Two ways of understanding the case. The rest means subchatim. Whenever you have subchatim, that means some people understand it one way and some people understand it the other way. So, again, it's difficult to learn a Gemara that way because you're bouncing back and forth. So what I'll do is pick the first shot first and learn it that way and then go back and relearn it the second way because it's very confusing to jump back and forth. So let's learn the first one. A guy told his son, I want you to sit and learn. I ban you from doing things for me. So there's certain things the son is allowed to do for his father. Because we assume that was not included in what he meant by ban. These are small things that kids do for parents that the father never meant that you couldn't do for me. It's understood that a regular person would not mean that. What are they? Mutter l'malas l'chavi shamayim. He can fill up a barrel of water for him, or light a candle for his father. Because there's no reason, these are little things. The father never meant, you can't do things for me, you can't light the candle in the room, or you can't fill me a cup of water. These are things that were never included in the father's letter. What? Exactly. I'm a Rabbi Yitzchak Gomer. You can even roast a little fish for him. You can prepare a sardine for him, a herring. Little thing, it's not included. That's shot number one. Shot number two is the father banned his kid. The father can light a candle for his son. The father can give him water. The father can give him herring or sardines, whatever duck cutting is, or tuna fish. Sorry?
The word chavis.
Means the barrel.
Isn't that a lot?
Again, those days, I didn't live in those days. But I know that they didn't have running water. So they have to go to a well and pick up a lot of water and then bring it in. That's considered a minor thing.
No matter how much water.
Again, I have no idea. I wasn't there. But the Gemara seems to consider this a minor thing.
It's a jug.
A jug, okay. That's like chavis usually means a barrel. A jug is fine. What? No, Kav Kegigis, right. Zagdarash. Hamadas b'nai l'tamatayra. He dirash l'yehenem m'lachtay m'shimushay. He won't have any pleasure from his work and service, because they say, b'nai l'tamatayra. Eilu m'lachas k'tanas mutu l'kabu m'men. He can still get those from his son. K'eina m'vatlis oisek o'kach m'tamatayra. They're not included because it doesn't really take him away much from learning. They're not time-consuming things. Doesn't mean non-time-consuming. He doesn't want him to pick him up from the airport. That takes an hour. But to turn on a candle, yes, it's Mavatul Taira for about 25 seconds. So that's not included. That's not what he meant. He meant, I want you to sit and learn and not worry about things. But little odds and things are not included in that. The father banned him. He can't have a nod from his father. Pishlaya writes a lumait. He didn't want to learn. The father did not mean to ban him in these little things. It's not included. It's not what he meant. Now, this is a thing that's called beliboy belev kolodom. This is an assumption that everybody understands. So if not, it's dvarim shebelev. It's not what you said. You said you can't have pleasure. So obviously, this is something that's understood by everybody. Especially because the reason was given. I want you not to give me pleasure because I want you to learn. So that is, I don't want to take you away from learning. These are not called taking you away from learning. Or I don't want you to have pleasure from me because you're not learning. So he doesn't mean the little things. That's what it says. Don't take my advice. Now, this next Gemara is a little bit more difficult to understand, but I will try my best. We'll use the rush to help us, but it's... Somebody can't have pleasure from his friend. Right? Reuven bans Shimon, or Shimon bans himself from Reuven. Mutar lashkaisai kaisho shalom. Reuven can give Shimon the cup of peace. Mind you, what is a cup of peace? Here in Bavel we translated it, Kaisho Beis HaAvel. What happened was, people used to go to the house of the Avel and bring wine. Because the Gemara says in Ksubas that the Avel used to drink 10 cups of wine in every meal that he ate as an Avel. They used to drink 10 cups of wine. So people brought wine. He's allowed to give him that cup of wine. Now why? We don't know yet. But that's what they say here. But my Rav Amri, Kaisho Beis HaMerchas, what used to happen in those days is people who came out of very hot baths, right? It was a little bit dangerous, right? So they used to give him hot water. That was a way of taking when he came out. So people used to bring him hot water. So that's permissible to give him according to the Hedgesor. Now, why is this permissible? Why? He banned them in pleasure. Zakdarash. Kaisho Beis HaAvel. Sharagilam Mishtasham. Kzeminan. Asara Kaisis Beis HaAvel. The Ma'avu Mudr Hemenu Hana. If the Avu was banned from pleasure. Mutr Lahailuk Shama Yayin. Now listen to the rush. The mitzvah covered. It's a mitzvah. Mavoy Mati Lehana Kol Kach La'avu. Now this is direct. This is giving it to the Avu. So mitzvahs don't allow direct giving. So why is this permissible? Dr. Rush, a new svara. There are many people that are drinking this wine. So what's happening is, you're providing wine for Olam. You're not providing wine just for the Avul. You're providing wine for the Olam that's there. They're all drinking 10 cups of wine. So when you bring wine, yes, the Avul is happy in the sense that, hey, you showed up with wine. But that's mitzvah. You did a mitzvah. Are you giving him wine? Not really. Yes, the fact is, there's wine there to be served, and he might even drink some of it. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. But you're not bringing it only for him. You're bringing it for the Olam. Move him Ashaisim. Now, it's the Olam's obligation to provide the wine. People brought wine. But really, if not, nobody shows up with wine, he's going to have to give the wine. But that's indirect. Not giving it to him. You're saving him. Now, if he was the only one drinking, it would be a problem because you're giving it straight to him. But the Rush uses the word hanah mu'etes. Can't say that the Olam doesn't get anything. But what he gets is small. Doesn't say indirect. Because there's a lot of people drinking there, including the Avil.
Is that three reasons, mitzvah, indirect, and everyone drinking?
It sounds that, yes. Mitzvah is just because he has pleasure, you showed up with a cup of wine. That's a pleasure of, he's machshav me. He's coming in. So that, you're not giving it, that's not called, that's, you're doing it for mitzvah. You don't have to worry about the fact that he feels good about that. The only problem is you're handing him wine. So the answer is merubim hashaisim. So the way I understand the Rush is that the Rush is saying it's not to him, it's to the Olam. That's why.
And that answers the first question. Then also, it's not giving.
I'm not sure he feels good that you walked in with wine. He didn't. You walked.
Giving the wine too.
Again, the occasion is the Avela Shachmana Litzlan. The Avil feels good that everybody walks in with a bottle of wine. It's not the drink. The wine is supposed to make the Avil feel better.
What mitzvah is this bringer doing?
It goes, I guess, into the. I don't know exactly what mitzvah it is. Is it part of Nichama? It could be part of Nichama Velam.
Why is everybody else drinking?
Why not?
Also
no, who said that? No, I don't think so. Kimrubim Ashaitim doesn't mean they're more Avelim, the way I understand.
Oh.
Dialim, you know, Dialim. Kiddish Club.
First of all,
that's
not
allowed. You're not allowed to eat
the suda, you can't eat with them. Right?
Wait,
a person is an
Avelis. Right, the Dialim does not eat the first suda. Wine has nothing to do with the first Suda. Wine is a drink, not to eat. Not part of the Suda, necessarily. He used to drink 10 cups of wine. The Gemara says they added 4 more. And then the Gemara says that people used to get drunk, so they took away the 4.
This is thinking about his agony.
That's the idea. The idea is wine relieves him. It's part of the Nichum process.
Today we don't do that.
No, we don't, because we don't drink 10 cups of wine ever. I hope so.
But we don't even eat over an Avil's house. People don't go to Minyan so they
could
have donuts after.
No, we don't do that.
They have different
hugging points. Again, I don't know when it changed. No, I don't think people go to eat by the Avil's house anymore. No. I don't know if they ate there, by the way. Could be they just came and drank along with him while he was eating. I don't know. It doesn't say anything. No. Everything now is speculative. I don't know.
We're going to say
they're not amazing. Doesn't say they are. Just keep moving my sides to them. You want, again, I have no, I only have the words of the Rosh in front of me.
That's right.
I didn't see keep moving my veilum. I saw keep moving my sides to them. Kaisha beis amerchats, mayim chavim. The what?
That is his friend, Marta's friend.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm happy I was mechab. Kaisha beis amerchats, mayim chamim. Kedamr b'peira kira, rachat v'leishasa mayim chamim, b'ayim l'tana shesikur mibachot z'loim b'bifnim. The Gemara there says, a guy that goes to a hot bath and doesn't drink hot water, like an oven that was heated on the outside, not on the inside. You want to maintain a balance of temperature in the outside of his body, the inside of his body, so he drinks hot water. Now, I'm not talking about medically today. I don't know what's healthy, what's not healthy. This is not my department. I'm just reading a Gemara in Shabbos and translating it here. So the minig was you gave the guy hot water. Now, why is that permissible? You're giving him the hot water. And there's no other drinkers here. There's nothing. It's him, the hot water. Zag derash v'namu etzi. This is considered small pleasure. Now, I had problems with this. Why is it worse than vitor? Vitor is also, we said, and this is mutter, because it's a small pleasure. So it could be this Mani Amar is going, this is not the Mishnah, this is a Gemara, maybe this is going to Vitor's mutter. I don't know. I looked around, I didn't see anybody talk about it. I was trying to find somebody to ask the question, why is this better than Vitor? I don't know. I didn't see any chat in that. I don't know. Because I didn't see, it doesn't mean anything, but I didn't see anybody ask it. The Ran says a whole new pshat. The Ran says Darkei Shalom is mutter. This is done as Darkei Shalom. This is the custom. So it's not included in the netter. But that's not what the Rush says. The Rush says it's Hanom Mu'etes. You're not giving him much. I don't understand why this is different than Victor, and I don't know pshat. But I'm reading the Rush. That's all I can tell you. That's a normal test. I mean, I appreciate it. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, very nice of him. He remembers. He brings it every morning. It's very nice of him. And I'm mock your time.
I have a question. I don't think it's wedges. It's with the water. You can say thank you eight times. I tell him with the water. The water is more important to Rebbe than I do. If you come here in the morning at 3:30, the place is the best. The tables are...
Many times it's thank you.
No, the answer is, I'll try to remember that every morning I'll come in and I'll look at Avram Cohen and I'll say, thank you very much for setting it up.
I
believe that, I will try now. You're giving me mutter. You have more to say. You always have more to say, yes.
He brings the wine and says, offer the cup to the bather committed as an act of courtesy, but only if the water does not belong to the bower.
Yeah. The direct doesn't say that. You're right. You're right. I said that. Yes, I'm sorry. You were in the middle of...
Interrupted again. We're interrupting each other.
No, believe that.
I don't need it.
No, it's very important.
But the priest I brought it up is because he considered mu'etes, and I'm trying to say it must not be mu'etes because Mary makes a big thing out of it every day.
You're 100% right. I'm a cobble the mutter. No. I'm a cobble the mutter. But the reason I was doing it is that I saw, and I didn't see you setting. I'm not here at 3:30 in the morning.
It was 4:15.
What?
4:15.
You said 3:30 a minute ago.
That was yesterday. It was 4:15.
Okay. Very nice of you. Very nice. Yeah. Very nice. Quarter to four.
I don't need it,
Rebel. Okay, I got it. Dr. Harris, please make sure when you're here to remind me, I should think. Right. Well, Yazin is Behemtai Bain Tamea Bain Tahira. Okay, then we had the Mishnah. Tanya and Shuab Ish Uzaimer. Zan Avadam Mishav Chaisav Atnanim. You can feed his Avadam Mishav Chaisav extra food. That's the way they learn. Why? The loyosin is bam to bain to me bain to hira. My time, huh? Avada v'shem chayst of aknanim l'machrus avidon. Behemah l'betum avidon. A fatter behemah is worth more. The purpose of an evad is to serve him. A fatter evad is not any better than a skinnier evad. In fact, it might even be a negative. L'machrusa, the Rush learns, means for three things, the Rush says. To stand in front of him, to respect that you have an Eved, to serve him, and people should see you have an Eved, so they respect you. Like he's a chash of a guy, he has an Eved. Like you walk in with a shamus, right? The guy walks in with you. People say, oh, man, he has a shamus. He must be some chash of a person. So there's Maris Ayin, there's the Etzim Kavod, and there's the shamus. Rush has three things. Dr. Rash, Rush. Avad, Rosh, Chayis, and Machrus, Avidan, the Maris Ayin, the covered, the lamed, the fun of the shamshay. The inner chayshes b'tumah, he gains nothing by having them fattened up. Some rishonim even speak out, it's a negative. Meaning, you don't want him to be fat.
Extra food.
Yeah, that's how some want to learn, there's even regular food. Why? There's a machlekes and masechtes gittin. Can you tell your Eved Kanani, you work for me and I'm not feeding you? Go collect money. It's a machlekes. One man the Amr said, you can't say to the Eved Kanani, I say, imi vein ezanach, work for me, but I don't have to feed you. The other man the Amr says, you can. Now, according to the man the Amr says, you can, this would be talking in a case that you told the owner could tell the Eved Kanani, I don't have to feed you. He's not obligated. So therefore, if I give it to the Eved, the owner doesn't care because he doesn't have to feed him anyway.
He has to give him time off to earn his own,
right? Whatever, that amount of time he has. I mean, it's talking about he has that amount of time. So that's how some Rishonim want to learn. The same thing can say, Imi Vein Azanach, but the Rush doesn't learn that way. The Rush learns there's no mila to fattened up Eved. He doesn't gain anything. It's extra food. That's how the Rush learns. They learn that way, by the way, by the animal also. It's extra food. Right? Extra food. That's why the question is fat and good or not. But the basic food, you're giving him something. You're feeding his animal.
Person
feed his Eved.
Other people have a mitzvah of
Dafkut Beizam and Aleph and Gittin discusses that. Dafkut Beizam, it's a machlokes. That's what Gemara discusses there. Dafkut Beizam and Aleph 12a, Masechtas Gittin discusses that. At the same time, it discusses whether you can tell the Eved, I won't feed you. It discusses whether it's a mitzvah to feed Avadim or not.
8-2 or 3?
8. Oh, I don't know. I would say it's 8-3. It's towards the end, past the halfway mark.
The question I have is, Moshe, when did you ask Rebbe yesterday this question so you can prepare?
When's the smart yesterday?
Thank you.
Rebbe was on his own.
You make us very, 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 very sad, Rebbe.
Why?
Coming, you're talking to, you're getting over here. We don't even know what. Is it Bob? What you were saying? How do you know it's Masechtas with that?
Oh, this, I hate to say this. Yud Beis and Gittin doesn't mean a thing to me because this is what I learned in Yeshiva and that I remember from those days. It's the part that I learned yesterday that I don't remember. What I learned in Yeshiva, I do remember, and that in Yud Beis and Alav and Gittin I learned in Yeshiva. I remember what I learned in Yeshiva. So that's why I remember it.
Rebbe says to me where the
Mokum
is, and I smile.
What?
I enjoy
the
Yankasa.
Gears of the Yankasa, 100%. That's why I remember Lahavdo, every shtus that I heard as a kid, I still remember also. Right? Why do I have to remember the lineup of the team that I was rooting for as a kid? I still remember it. Why? Every shtus that went in Yankasa still was there. Could have been Tyra, would have been worth a lot more. They're probably all dead by now, you know what I mean? Yeah, if I was a kid, they were older, right? So they're probably all dead by now. I don't have to tell you the lineup now. No, he died. Right, a long time ago. That drunk.
And Rebbe was maspid him,
no? I was not maspid him, no. Hamudu Anam Chaveirai. I don't wonder how you know about him. Why would you know about him?
Because I'm
the Mechavusha. Somebody bans pleasure from his friend. He can go visit him when he's sick, but he has to remain standing and not sitting. And the Gemara will elaborate why that is true. He can heal him, his body, and the Gemara is going to talk why. He can be his doctor. Okay, Sam, I have a doctor right here. Right, he can be, but he cannot be his veterinarian. He cannot heal his animals. Why one, not the other? All that discussed in the Gemara. In fact, the Rush has nothing to say. At least he didn't. We don't have it in the Rush. Why this halakha is true. So now we're going to have to discuss why can he stand and not sit? Who is not allowed to have pleasure from whom? Is the sick person not to have pleasure, allowed to have pleasure from the visitor? Is the visitor not allowed to have pleasure from the sick person? What is the case in the Mishnah? That's the first question. Second question is, why can he heal him? Who can heal whom? And who can't heal his animals? So that's going to be discussed in the Gemara, so let's get started.
He certainly can go visit them.
It says you're allowed to go visit him standing. We don't know who's visiting whom. What is the case? Is it that the visitor, the sick person, can't have pleasure from the visitor, right? So, afila yaishav nami, why can't he sit? Zok derash, afila yaishav nami. The hanos covered lechashiv v'hanor lo Yisrael lechayla, the mitzvah covered. The fact that the chayla feels respected, that the visitor came to visit him. Every chayla, when somebody comes to visit him, there's an element of respect. He thought enough of me to come visit me. That's not called hanor, because the guy is doing it for mitzvah b'ka chayla. I just have to say this. Yashim Ber Soloveitchik from Boston called up the Blue Shiva Rebbe and asked, can I come visit you? He was sick, the Blue Shiva. The Blue Shiva said, no. So Yashim Ber said, why can't I come visit you? So he said, because when you come, you're the Gavra and I'm the Cheftza. I don't want to be a Cheftza. He said it to him, he did the brisker. So when you come, you're the Gavra and I'm the Cheftza. I don't want to become a Cheftza. That's what the Rosh is saying. The Rosh is saying, I'm not giving him respect. I'm doing a mitzvah. He happens to feel respected. But he's my Cheftza. That's exactly what the Rosh is saying. What?
I didn't remember
hearing that. My Rosh Yeshiva told me. Yeah, Rosh Yeshiva told it to me. Yeah. He thought it was cute.
Story.
He thought it was cute. He said, you come to me, you'll be the Gavra, I'll be the Cheftza. I don't want to be a Cheftza. But that's what the Rosh is saying. The guy feels respected, but that's not what you're doing. You're doing your mitzvah. You're the Gavra, he's the Cheftza. You need him to be your item of mitzvah. Now, not that the guy is doing it because he wants people to be sick so he can have more Cheftzas, Chas V'Shalom. It's just that that's what's happening. This is the Svara, what the Rosh is saying. The guy's doing a mitzvah. It happens to be that the guy feels respected that this guy came to him to do the mitzvah. So what would be the hana that he's coming into my house? Right? The chayla has hana. He's not getting hana from the fact that he's visiting. Because that is a mitzvah. The guy gets hana, that's derech agav. Reuven's doing a mitzvah by visiting Shimon. Shimon is enjoying the fact that Reuven took out of his time to visit him. But that's because Reuven wants to do a mitzvah. And every second he spends there is a mitzvah. Or some of it's a mitzvah, we'll see later. Now, one second. Now the second hana is, Shimon feels good that Reuven's in his house. That he's in my house. He's walking in my house. Dr. Rush, why is that a hanor to Shimon? That would be usher. That Reuven steps into his house, Shimon gets pleasure from the stepping into his house. That's a tema. To say that you can't give hanor to Shimon that you're stepping into his house? Not like he's stepping into your house. You're stepping into his house. You're allowed to have pleasure from Shimon. But I have to remember to put that in.
That someone should not visit him. Wow, are you sick?
Yeah, you give me
not to the mitzvah.
Yeah, you give me not to do the mitzvah yourself too.
No, but you murder somebody else not to do a mitzvah.
Why not? You don't want it. You don't want him in your house. You don't want him in your house.
But you're taking away his mitzvah.
Okay, you can take away your own. Why can't you take away somebody else?
Actually, I don't know.
Why would it not work?
Because you're taking away his mitzvah.
So you took it away. But we'll continue.